It is God who gives us strength. It's not your bank account. It's not your pretty looks and your smarts, okay? It's not how many friends you have. It is God. You don't have all the answers.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is How God Arms Us and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
I'll be reading out of the NIV, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 33. Let's all please stand for the reading of God's holy word. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you, God. Father, I pray that you will open each and every one of our spiritual ears, open our hearts so that we may receive your word, God. Father, I pray that the word will become rooted within us, that we will go forth, God, and we will proclaim your word out there into the world, God, to the ends of the world. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you guys to get fired up for the Word of God because I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God has changed my life, and it will change your life if you surrender to it. Because listen, coming to church ain't going to do it. You have to get here to hear the Word, but you got to have your heart open up to the Word in order to receive it and keep it. Right? So King David is saying this. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. How many of you in here has an enemy that you need to be armed with strength to fight against? Just a couple of you? Well, y'all more blessed than I thought you were. Praise God. Well, listen, I'm here to tell you that every single one of you has an enemy. His name is Satan. Amen. And every single one of you needs to be armed with the strength of God because you are no match for the devil. Some of us think we're big and we're bad, but listen, the devil been around longer than any of us. And he knows every trick in the book, and he knows you better than you know yourself. The devil studies you because he's your enemy. He watches you and he sees what makes you tick. And when he sees a weakness in your armor, he goes for the kill. And he's not playing with you. This is not a game. This is serious stuff. If he can't get you, he'll get somebody you love. He starts out with lying, deceit, right? Bible says he was a liar from the very beginning and a thief. He'll start stealing from you. Don't matter what he can take. He'll take anything as small as it can be. He'll take it from you. Your job, your friends, your family, your loved ones, you name it. He'll take it if you give it to him. And he won't stop there. He'll try to bring you into such a pit. He'll even try to kill you, lead you into death. He's not playing a game with your life. This is not a game. You have an enemy. But it is God who arms me, who arms you, who arms us with strength and makes our way perfect. Amen. King David spoke these words after God had delivered him from all of his enemies. There are battles in life that we must all face. However, Christians are not alone when opposition strikes. Nor are we left helpless. Rather, it is God himself who steps forward and gives us strength and makes our way perfect. You can't do it on your own. You can try to do it on your own, but you can't keep it up. You don't have the strength to keep it up. You don't have the endurance, but God can arm you and will do so. Amen? So first of all, God arms us with strength because we have an enemy. There's a reason for it. God just didn't come up and say, I think I'm going to make them strong. For no reason at all. Don't you understand that God gave you the word of God to arm you with strength? He didn't do this because he just felt like it. He did this because you have a need. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Listen, while you guys are sleeping, goofing off, or sinning, the devil is watching you. He's looking over your shoulder and saying, I got you. You are my target. I'm going to get you. But I'm saved by God. But you ain't listening to him. And when you stop listening to God, you become a target. I don't want to see anybody in here become a target because the devil's aim is good. He's got good aim. He's got 20/20 vision when it comes to hitting his targets. And believe me, this church is his target. You have an enemy. And Peter is trying to tell you, get control of yourself. Don't try to control everybody around you. It ain't going to work anyways. You know, because you tried it. And people don't listen to you. Because you have an enemy, the devil. And he's prowling around. That means he's in your backyard. That means he's in your living room. That means he's on your TV set when you're flipping through the channels. Speaking to you. Watching you. Trying to pick you out. And single you out. And say, that one's mine. I got him. I have her. And I'm not letting go. Because they're not listening to God. They're not strengthened by his word. Oh, they're easy pickings. I got them separated from the flock. My wife and I like to watch nature programs. And the lions always get the animals, the babies, the little ones that don't know any better, who have strayed from the flock, who have strayed from the herd. They always pick them out because they're the ones that are alone. They're the ones that are not experienced. That's what Satan wants to do. He looks at a church and he says, oh, I see some weak ones in here. They're weak because they're not listening to the pastor. They're weak because they're not listening to God. They're weak because they're not reading their word. They're weak because they don't believe the word. Oh, I'm going to get them. I'm going to drag them down. Now, he may not be able to take a Christian to hell, but he can certainly create hell on earth for the Christian. Because you got a lot of living to do. And he wants to make it miserable for you. So you better be self-controlled. Satan is always working against God and Christians. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, always working. He don't take a break. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get discouraged. He doesn't get sleepy. We may think we are sometimes fighting other people in our battles, but it is Satan who is behind the attacks. You got somebody at work that's attacking you? That's Satan talking to them. It ain't God. God doesn't tell people to attack other people. That's Satan. You might think that that person's against you. Praise God. But it's the devil and it's that person who's listening to them or to him. Amen. Ephesians 6:12. Listen to this. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You're not fighting each other. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. You know our world is dark. There's no light in this world. Jesus was the light. And people killed him, didn't we? Now the Christians are the light. But the world is dark. Against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. How many of you hang around in the heavenly realms? Raise your hand if you hang around there. See, you guys don't have the kind of power that Satan's got. Satan was and is the most powerfulest angel ever created by God. not to glorify him at all, but this is a matter of fact. He is one bad dude. He has angelic powers. And God cast him out of heaven because he had sinned against God by wanting glory from God. Do not steal the glory of God, or you'll suffer the fate of Satan. But our struggles, they're not against flesh and blood. They're against demons and Satan himself. The devil didn't leave heaven alone. He took a third of the angels with him. And these demons are still around today, trying to get a hold of us, trying to cause division in the church, divisions in the family, get you to argue, get you to fight, get you to unbelieve, get you to walk away from your church, get you to walk away from your friends. It is only through Christ that Christians can stand against Satan. I don't care how smart you are. He's smarter than you. I don't care how clever you are. He's more clever than you. You don't stand a chance. Listen, when we are worshiping God and we're obeying God, did you know that God covers us with his wing, his spiritual wing? He actually hides us from Satan. That means that when you're worshiping God and you're obeying God, Satan's looking around for you and he can't find you because God will hide you from Satan. Amen? Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You want something done that's too big for you? You have an enemy you can't beat? It's not by your might. It's not by your power. A full army at your disposal is not going to stop Satan from coming into your life and wrecking it if you're not obeying God. Second, God gives us strength through his word. Listen to this, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living. Do you know this Bible is alive? When you read this Bible, it assimilates into your soul. You can hear scripture coming up like somebody's whispering it to you. The Holy Spirit comes into your life and it's being fed with the word of God. You're energizing. The word is energizing to the spirit. For the word of God is living and active. It's not just sitting in this book. It's not just sitting on this shelf. It's active. It's working. It's working for those who believe in it. It's working for those who are applying it. It's working for those who want it to work for them. And it's sharper. Listen to this. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. What do you think God sent his word for? It's to cut through to your soul, to get your attention, to get down into the deep inners of your being, to say, here I am. I am the living God, and my word has penetrated you, to cut things out of your life that don't need to be there. That's why it's a sharp sword. There's things in our lives that God can't use, and it hurts when he starts cutting them out. When God starts cutting with his word, things start falling away out of our lives that he can't use in the Christian. Amen. But that sword is also a weapon. That sword can also be used to go after the enemy. Jesus used the sword. The word of God is the sword to fend off Satan when he was tempted in the wilderness. Satan cannot stand up against a Christian who walks in faith and obedience in God's holy word. Faith and obedience. If you believe in somebody, you're going to walk with them in a straight line. That's called obedience. Try getting away with disobedience in the military. You step out of line and they're on you. You step out of line, they're on you. You step out of line with God and Satan says, I got him. He just stepped out from the covering of God. He just sinned. She just sinned. I got her. She stepped out of line and now I see them. But see, when you're standing in line with God, you're lined up with him and he's in front of you. But as soon as you poke your head around, he goes, oh, I got him. He poked his head out from behind Jesus and he went his own way. And now I see him and now I'm going for him. Can't do that. You got to walk a straight line with God. Satan is not playing a game with your life. Too many Christians today are defeated because they do not know God's word, or they do not apply it to this situation. There's Christians that know that they're not supposed to be doing things. They still do it. Well, I know I'm not supposed to curse people when I get angry with them, but I'm going to do it anyways because I feel like it. I know I'm not supposed to talk about other people because God hates gossiping, but I'm going to do it anyways. It's not really gossiping when it's the truth. Well, it's none of your business to be talking about other people's business. You don't like it when people are spreading your stuff around. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Let me go back and read this again. Too many Christians today are defeated because they do not know God's word. That was the first part, right? And the Bible backs me up. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. If only you would have known. If only you would have found out. God has provided a church for us. He's provided Bibles in this church. He has provided people that care for us in this church. He has provided people that will, what? Pray for you in this church. Every Sunday, we invite people to come up for prayer. Every Sunday, we ask people to come up and be saved, right? So now they know, right? But listen to this. The second part of what I wrote, they don't apply it to their situation. Listen, sometimes people come to church and they've been praying before they got here. God, I'm so depressed. If there's a God, can you just do something for me? Help me, God. A day or a week goes by, they find this church or another church, and they start going, and they're sitting in the pews, and they still don't get that God brought them there. And they come up, and they say, well, I just don't know. Nothing's changing in my life. I've been sitting in the pews. I've been giving my money to the church. And life is still blah. And all the preacher man talks about is reading God's word, applying God's word, sharing God's word. I ain't going to do all that. Okay. All right. You have yourself to blame. Because listen, I'm just a messenger. I cannot stick an IV in your arm and feed you the word of God. That's something you got to do. Luke 6:46 says, this is Jesus speaking. I want your attention on this one. He's asking his disciples and followers this question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Do you all know what a Lord is? It's someone who is over you. Your master. Your teacher. When God tells you to do something, it's for your own good or for the good of someone else, which is still for your good. Because if you love that person, you'll do something that's good for them. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Are you saved? Yeah. Do you go to church? Yeah. Do you read your Bible? Sometimes. Do you do what it says to do? Only when I feel like it. Mm-mm. No. You have to live this life. You can't tell somebody else how to live their life when you're not even living your life the way the Bible says. Hypocrite. Right? That would be a hypocrite, wouldn't it? And your enemy will walk right in and get you. Now listen to this. Third, God gives us armor to bear the attacks of Satan. Remember, everything's coming from Satan. Okay? You have an enemy in your life, Satan's behind it. Ephesians 6:11, and I'm going to go through this. Put on, that's because you're not wearing it. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. What's a scheme? It's a plan of evil, isn't it? A scheme is something to get somebody with, isn't it? It's an evil plan. He's scheming about you. He's looking at you and he's sizing you up and he says, ooh, I know what I can take from them. They go to church and they listen to the sermon, but they don't do what God asks them to do. I'm going to scheme against them. This is what he's saying about you. I'm not saying it. The devil is saying these things about you. He's telling his dominions to come and get you. He's got a plan for your life. And he wants you to follow his plan rather than God's. Put on the full armor of God. Put it on. It says to put it on because, you know what? Paul already knows you guys aren't wearing it. But Pastor, what is the full armor of God? I'm glad you asked. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Dishonest Christians cannot stand against the Father of all lies. If you're a liar, how are you going to stand up against the liar of liars? If you're dishonest, how are you going to stand up against the one who's the thief? Huh? This is the truth he's talking about. He's talking about be true to yourself and be true to the people around you. Don't join the devil. The devil is a liar. And every time you tell a lie, you're hooking up with the devil. You're doing what he wants you to do. It makes you a liar when you tell a lie. Dishonest Christians cannot stand against the Father of all lies. You start lying, the devil says, ooh, welcome to my club. And guess what? I'm the head of the liars club. That means I'm ahead of you. That means I'm over you. I'm master over you because your tongue is talking my club's work. This is what we do in my club. This is my house, and we lie in my house. And I'm the liar of all liars, and you can't stand against me when you've joined in with me. And listen, the same verse goes on to say in Ephesians 6:14, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. A Christian's righteousness comes from their righteous deeds and conduct, right? That's their breastplate. Integrity. Don't be a liar. Don't be a person that says, I will be there in 5 minutes and take 20 to get there. Don't tell a person that you're going to help them out and then don't answer the telephone on the day that it comes that you're supposed to be helping them. Integrity. When people hear that you said you're going to do something, they should know that you're going to do it. You got to have integrity for yourself, but you also got to earn integrity from other people. People got to know that when you say something, you mean it. When you say it, you mean it. A Christian's righteous deeds and conduct is their breastplate. Get that integrity, people. Because listen, you represent this church when you leave here. You represent this church when you leave here. People look at you and your conduct and your integrity, and they judge the church by it. So if they see you cussing, what church does she go to? What church has he been to? What are they teaching him there? They invited me to that church, but I see their mouth running off in directions they shouldn't go in. I see them lying and stealing and conniving. Ephesians 6:15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel is the firm foundation on which every Christian must stand. Listen, you're not doing this because you're a good person. Your integrity doesn't come from that. Your integrity comes from God. Your integrity comes from the one that you know has planted your feet firm in the gospel of peace. You got peace with God. Listen to what I'm saying. This is your armor. The devil can't come up and accuse you of anything and threaten you with anything when you got peace of God around you. Your peace. He can't move you. You better get over here now. You better do this because God is going to fail you. No, he's not. My feet are firmly planted and I'm going to follow God. I got the gospel of peace holding my feet steady. And I'm going to march in the army of God and the devil ain't going to get me out of alignment. He's a liar. He can't have what God has given me. And Ephesians 6:16 says, in addition to all this, because it ain't enough, take up the shield of faith. You got to believe with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Do you not know that when you're in a situation, the devil is shooting these flaming lies at you? Your enemy is going to take you down. You have lost everything. You're going to lose everything. You are a loser and God has failed you. No, I got the shield of faith. My God says that he will never leave nor forsake me, Satan. You got to have faith. The devil's going to tell you that you can't count on God. Where's your faith, Christian? I got faith in God. He says that if I obey him and trust him and follow him, you can't do nothing to me. You can try. You can try. But I got my shield. Now, you know, if you've ever held something up and somebody's hit you hard enough, you could still feel it, right? But if you got a strong enough block, you might feel the impact, but you won't feel the pain. It won't destroy you. It won't knock you down for the count. Our shield of faith is like that. The devil will still try to come at you with lies, and they might sting when they hit you. You might feel the brunt of his blows, but he can't penetrate the shield of faith. Without faith, believers are subject to believing the lies of Satan. Faith deflects the devil's lies. Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation is the believer's armor against Satan and his accusations. The helmet of salvation. What does the helmet cover? Your head. What's inside your head? You know what the devil likes to do? The devil likes to come up to you and say, you're not worthy. You are a sinner. You've always been a sinner. You will always be a sinner. God can't use you. He don't want to use you. He wants perfect people. And you're not one of them. You're never going to be a perfect person. Oh, let me count the sins that you have done. But then you say, wait a minute. Let me put my helmet of salvation on. What's that, God? Oh, God forgot all of my sins. That's what the Bible says. The Lord says that I am forgiven through Jesus Christ. That means that he looks upon me as he looks upon his son, Jesus. I got salvation through Jesus Christ. You can't accuse me anymore, devil. I am saved by Jesus. I got the helmet of salvation on my head. You can't even get in there anymore. So you can tell me I'm unworthy and praise God that I'm unworthy because I didn't have to do it. Jesus did it already for me. He is my salvation. Praise God. That's my helmet of salvation. So you just keep on telling them lies. You just keep on talking because I'm going to keep on preaching. Thank you, Jesus. The helmet of salvation is the believer's armor against Satan and his accusations. Stop letting him lie to you and start believing that Jesus has saved you. You're saved. Move on from that past. Quit letting the devil keep you where you are. Keep going forward and say, listen, I got it. Somebody else can get it too. All I got to do is tell them about Jesus. You don't have to be a lawyer for God. All you have to do is be a witness. Amen. How do you witness something? You witness by knowing about it, by seeing it work in your own life. You can tell people, I don't know about his life. I don't know about her life. I don't even know sometimes about my own life, but I know about Jesus. And let me tell you about him. Let me tell you what he's done. Let me tell you what he's doing. Let me tell you what he's going to do for the whole world. That's what a witness is. That's what a witness is. You don't have to argue it. Fourth, God makes our way perfect when we accept his strength and allow him to work through us. Listen, you got to accept something in order to possess something. Amen. It's being offered to each and every one of you. This is not a secret. God makes our way perfect when we accept his strength and allow him to work through us. Quit being so stubborn. Quit thinking you got it all worked out. Quit thinking you're so smart. Take his strength on and allow him to work through you. Surrender some of the things that he's asking you to give up. You didn't need them anyways. They're killing you. They're killing people around you. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, and this is Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. This is God talking to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When you're stubborn, God can't get through to you. Your free will is in the way. Take a back seat. There's a song that says, Jesus, take the wheel. Aren't you tired of driving? Don't you need a rest? You're driving yourself into a ditch. And Paul goes on in this. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul knew the secret to God's strength. Paul knew he had to get out of the way. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, get out of the way. You're blocking God's view. Paul said, I'm going to boast. I'm going to boast about my weakness. I'm not going to walk around like a peacock anymore with my feathers sticking out, shaking like some of us do from time to time. I'm actually going to boast that I'm weak, that I can't do it. And sometimes, I'll be honest, I don't want to do it. Praise God. Our own pride can hold back the strength of God. We must accept what we can do and let God do what we cannot. Now listen, I'm not getting anybody off the hook. There's things you got to do. There's things you got to do. You can't just sit there on the bench on the sidelines and expect that you're going to win the game. Somebody else is going to get the prize. You got to get in the game. How do you get into the game? You go to the coach. Who's the coach? Jesus, the Word of God. Amen? But listen, if you're too proudful, you're not going to get up, you're not going to go, you're not going to do. We must accept what we can do and let God do what we cannot. How do we know? How do we know? We come to God in prayer. That takes humbleness, doesn't it? That takes letting go of your pride. God, I'm sorry. I know I'm wrong. I know I've been sinning. But God, I know that you have all the answers, and I know you love me. You love me more than I love myself. And I've done everything I can do in this situation. And God, I've done some things I shouldn't have done. Now I want to know, God, what I must do next or what I mustn't do, and let you do what I can't do. And sometimes when God starts working in your life, it doesn't look like he's doing anything. Because it's not how you would have done things. You wouldn't have done that way. One time the Lord blessed one of my enemies when I prayed for them. And I said, what are you doing? You blessed them. That blessing got them off my back. Thank you, God. They just needed a little bit of blessing in their life to make things go a little better. If it was me, I would have taken everything away. Get them, God. I prayed for them and God blessed them. And they left me alone. I wouldn't have done it that way. Not if I was in charge. And I will boast gladly about my weakness. Many Christians do not want to do things God's way. They want to rely on the world's way of doing things. You pray for forgiveness for your enemies. Jesus said, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do, as he was being murdered by his enemies on the cross. He was praying for their forgiveness. What an example Jesus is to us. Only God's way is perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, God's way is perfect. My way's not. We need to start today by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord over our lives. Listen, guys, I want to tell you something. It is God who gives us strength. It's not your bank account. It's not your pretty looks and your smarts, okay? It's not how many friends you have. It is God. You don't have all the answers. And the older you get, the more you're going to figure that out. But by that time, it could be too late. You need to start where you are right now by accepting Jesus Christ. Coming to church does not make you a Christian any more than me going down to the garage makes me a mechanic. I see those guys working on my car. They even try to teach me how to do it, and I'm lost because I do not apply myself to the science. Now, could I learn to be a mechanic? Yes, with patience, with trust with the teacher that I would have, okay? We must accept the strength God offers us through faith and obedience. That means that you believe what God is teaching you in the Word. You believe what God is telling you through his messengers. You believe in Jesus Christ, and you accept him as your Lord and Savior because you believe that this is where you need to be. Some of you guys are heading down a road, and I know there's a road that some of us are going down that we don't want to be going down. And that road leads to a dark pit that's going to take a long time to get out of. If we don't change what we're doing, it may not happen next week. It may not happen next month. It may not even happen in 5 years from now. But the road that Satan leads us down is a road of despair, of troubles, loneliness, defeat, and a dark pit. We must accept the strength God offers us through faith and obedience.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.